Hello, and welcome to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church, which is located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. Our speaker today is Jim Thomas, who is a member of our congregation. Please join us as Jim continues his study in the book of James. Our Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace this morning as a very needy people. We need your grace every moment of every day. We thank you and bless you, Lord, that that is a fountain that never runs out. And we're just told to come to it and to ask, and it'll be given. Lord, we do need your grace. Father, I would ask that you would help me to preach your word. Lord, just realizing what a responsibility it is, and it's something that's been working on me a bit lately, Lord, and I ask that you would bless these lips, and most of all, that you would bless the ears of those who will be listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's begin worship the Lord with 218. And as we go through this, try to listen to the words and sing them as unto the Lord.
Thank you.
we can accept Jesus Christ as Savior and not Lord. That is erroneous doctrine. We have to accept Jesus as He is. He is Savior and He is Lord. By His very nature, He is Lord. And if we try to make Him anything else, we are worshiping an idol. It's often been said that God made us in His image and we've returned the favor ever since. We all have our own little Jesus that we want to worship, and that's not the Jesus of the Bible. Next, O Sacred Head. There's a word in there, it's called vouchsafe, which is not used that much anymore, but it means to grant, of, to give, as by favor, gracious, or by favor. Very bottom second verse. Vouchsafe to me thy grace. Basically what it's saying there is, grant to me or give me as by favor, graciously, your grace. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. It's given by the mercies and the grace of God. I tend to do this. I like to read a couple of verses or a verse or two of some of the songs just to meditate on them for a minute. If not for anybody else, for me. When I select these, I guess I spent about 45 minutes last night or this morning selecting some of the hymns here. It's something I take seriously. Pastor and I were talking just a little bit this morning that there was a great cloud of witnesses. There are the angels in heaven are here to hear the Word of God preached. I don't know why. Why would, when they can see the Lord sitting on His throne, lofty and exalted, why would they stoop to hear mere man? I think just of me. It's personal. But anyone, how can mere man preach to the angels what they know far better than we can ever imagine, yet they deign to hear us preach? And it adds a little bit of incentive to try to get things straight doctrinally. Where there is an abundance of words, transgression is unavoidable, and there is going to be an abundance of words this morning. And I'm going to transgress. Maybe you will or will not pick it up, but they will. And I have to confess to you right now, I'm one of these idiots that actually believes what the Word of God says. Amen. And when it says that there is a great cloud of witnesses, there is a great cloud of witnesses. And it really hits me. It makes me nervous. It scares me to death, basically, is what it does, and that's a good thing. Verse 2 of this hymn. What thou, my Lord, has suffered was all for sinners' gain. Mine was the transgression, but thine the deadly pain. Lo, here I fall, my Savior, 'tis I deserve thy place. Look on me with thy favor, vouchsafe to me thy grace. Now, I'm not reading from the Word of God here, but I think that this very accurately describes what is in the Word of God. What thou, my Lord, has suffered. Think upon that for a minute. We're going to be talking about trials. Nothing compared to what the Lord suffered for the joy that was set before Him. Was all for sinners' gain. It wasn't for His gain, it was for our gain. Why would the God of heaven, the Creator of the universe, the Creator of all that is, the only being who is self-sustaining, needs nothing, doesn't need the sun, doesn't need air, doesn't need oxygen. He doesn't need us. Why would He see fit to leave the throne of glory, come and live as a man, and die the hideous death of the cross? It was one of the worst deaths that man has ever thought of. And I'm sure now we can come up with some things that are pretty nasty, but that was bad. Mine was the transgression, but thine the deadly pain. Lo, here I fall, my Savior, 'tis I deserve thy place. Think on that. It's me that deserves that place. It's me that deserves to be on that cross. It's me that deserves the punishment of God. Do you know that on that cross, for 3 hours there, probably from about noon to what we would call 3 p.m., God pulled the veil on what was going on that cross. Darkness fell on the earth. We don't know exactly what Christ suffered in our place on that cross, but He took an eternity of punishment in hell for us. Can you just imagine that? An eternity of punishment in my place. Why me? Why you? But He did it. Look on me with thy favor, vouchsafe to me thy grace. That is all by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. The grace isn't even from us. It's God gives us the grace and saves us by that grace. It's amazing. It's amazing grace. 186. when I survey the wondrous cross. Our Father, we come again to you in the name of Jesus Christ. We would ask that you would bless this time, bless this service. May we learn from the exposition of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And remain standing through the doxology. Be seated. Thank you, Bob. Okay, we've been going through the book of James. Hopefully, I'm not making this too tedious. There is a point where if you're at all of a technical nature, you tend to want to look at everything. Sometimes gets tedious to those who are not of that that mentality, which I know most people aren't. So hopefully I'm not being, like I said, I'm not being too tedious here. I know I pull a lot of scripture. As I mentioned last time, I just want to make sure that you understand this is not from my imagination. My interpretation of scripture may at times be at odds with what some may think. But at least I'm attempting to come to it from the Word of God. And at that point, I can't go too far wrong, I guess. This would be an introduction to trials. Trials are something that everyone faces. If you're not facing trials, better think twice, because that's probably your trial right there, to think that you're not facing them. We all have trials, myriads of trials. A trial is to put to the test. Adversity, to prove, sometimes to tempt certain types of trials. To try, to assay, and to discipline. And there are times when we need those trials, the trials of discipline. I know in my life I've been taken to the woodshed many times through trials, and it's not a pleasant experience. But we do need them. We are mere human beings, and we are sinful human beings. We don't, there are many who say that, I accepted the Lord and I don't sin anymore. I'm sorry. I want to take your picture if that's what you think, because I'm going to send you to the Guinness Book of World Records, because I don't know of anyone other than Jesus Christ who ever lived that never sinned. I've sinned since I walked in here this morning, in one way or another. So we all have trials. We all deserve trials. What are some of the purposes of trials? Trials can humble us. When we get cocky and self-assured, sometimes we see some growth in our spiritual life and we say, yeah, it's pretty good. Isn't God lucky to have me? Well, there's a trial coming. It humbles us. When we start to look at someone else and say, well, at least I'm not as bad as they are, I'm pretty good, there's a trial coming. Trials also help us to be weaned from the world. We're so easily pressed into the mold of the world. The world tries to hammer us into its mold daily. If you work outside the home, the world is there to beat you into submission if it can. If you work in the home, you turn on the TV, the world is there to try to beat you into submission. And I say this all the time. I don't know if I've stood up here yet and not said it. If you watch some of the Christian television that's on there, it's trying to beat you into the world's mold. I'm sorry, a lot of it is not Christian. There's some very good stuff that you run across once in a while. But a lot of it is not Christian. I'm sorry. You compare it to the Word of God, and there are glaring differences from the beginning to the end of it. The world tries to push us into its mold, and trials wean us from that. They call us to concentrate on eternal things. How often when you enter into a trial do you turn to God and cry out? You start thinking of things beyond the pale of this earthly existence. Trials can bring to mind the fact that we have eternal life, that there is a heaven, that we will be there, and that those trials will, one way or another, come to an end, whether it is through natural occurrences, or through our death. Those trials will come to an end. Can you imagine the trials that are going to be eternal to those who do not know Christ, who are going to spend an eternity in hell? You talk about trials, nothing we went through in this life that's going to even compare to that. As believers, our trials will come to an end. Trials also tend to show us what we really love. There are trials that, I'll get into this in a little bit here. I go through them once in a while myself. I'm a very, I'm a complex individual in some respects. In other respects, I'm pretty simple. Just give me what I want and leave me alone. know, how much more simple do you want? Well, you know, through trials, some of that's changed. But I tend to get fascinated on something. You give me a hobby, and I will practice that hobby at the exclusion of everything else. Well, trials come along and help to wean me from that. And the trials come along and show me what I really love. Do I love that thing that I am involved with at the moment more than I do God? Unfortunately, sometimes I do. I've got to be honest about it. The Lord knows how to bring me up short and to show me where my love really is and gives me the chance to repent and come around. And He is faithful. He is faithful. I am not faithful, but He is faithful. It's just so obvious to me that we cannot lose our salvation. Because He's grabbed me by the back of the neck so many times and smacked me on the side of a rock to wake me up, to show me who I love, where my affections lie. He doesn't let me go. Trials and testing also teach us the value of God's favor and blessing. God has shown His favor to us. Before the foundations of the world were laid, He chose you and me to be His sheep, to be His people. What a blessing. What a blessing. And again, you know, the world has so jammed us into its mold that so often we don't think of that. How often do we go through a day and really sit down and think, how blessed I am? We really don't. I don't. To my shame, I say that. Testing and trials enable us to help others in their trials. If you've experienced the loss of a loved one, you can come close to someone else who is experiencing that. If you've experienced the loss of employment, you can sympathize with someone else who is experiencing the loss of employment. The idea sometimes that we wander, some people would call backsliding. I don't necessarily use that term, but we wander from the grace and the love of our Lord. And then we're brought back, we're restored. We can come up beside someone who is going through that right now, and rather than condemning, we can sympathize. Brother or sister, I've been there. But the Lord is faithful. He's been faithful to me. He's been faithful to millions before me. He can bring you out. That's what trials do. Trials develop in us a greater strength for usefulness. Again, this is, it could be subsumed under the heading above that to some extent. But we are much more useful when we've gone through trials. We understand there's wisdom that comes through trials if you allow it to work that way. Trials can chasten us for our sin and to lead us to holiness. We, as I stated before, we all sin. We all come short of the glory of God. And through trials, we are brought closer to God, because in trials we rely on Him. When we don't, day in, day out, quite often. How often do you rely on God when you have a good job and, you know, the bills are being paid and things seem to be going fairly well? Do you rely on God? Measure the strength of our faith. Okay, trials can measure the strength of our faith. When you go through trials and you fall apart in the middle of the trial, that's an indication that your faith needs strengthening. When you go through a trial and you come out the other end praising God and realizing that all things work together for good for us who are called according to His purpose, you can see that my strength is increasing. through trials. The Lord is increasing my strength. I want to give a little word of personal testimony here. It has to do with trials. And this isn't to show, to brag or anything like that. In the year 2000, was it January 20th, I think it was, I was home from, I work in a school district, and it was a snow day, so I was home. My son and a girl, not his girlfriend, but another girl, were coming home from a visit in New Jersey. I got a call on the telephone from Geisinger. Said there has been an accident. Your son is in the emergency ward. Get here as soon as you can. That was all. That was the start of a trial. That was the start of an ongoing trial. I ran upstairs, told my wife, and we took off to Geisinger, slipping and sliding all the way because it was a snowy day and the roads were icy. That's why we didn't have school. And our minds were going 1,000 miles a minute. What's going on? Why would we get a call like that with no further information? On the way down, we didn't get out of South Williamsport before I'm not going to say the Lord spoke this to me. I don't know, but what the thought that went through my mind was, what if you get there and he's dead? I said to the Lord that time, I said, well, he's yours. I turned him over to you many years ago. I don't like the idea of it, but he's yours. If you want to take him, he's yours. A peace came over me, and a settled assurance that God is in control. Now, this was a roller coaster ride. Believe me, emotionally and physically, we went through 6 or 7 weeks of an emotional up and down. And it's actually continued till now. I don't know what effect this had on my son, but it had one massive effect on me. This was when I became settled with the sovereignty of God. This is when I really turned it over to him. There was nowhere else to go with it. I had nowhere to turn. I was at my wit's end. There's nothing I could do. If I got there and he was gone, nothing I could do. Except praise God for the time that he did give my son to me and the opportunities that I had to talk to him about Christ. Well, we got to Geisinger, and we sat for, I don't know, how long was it, an hour and a half or so, not knowing what was going on. They didn't give us any information. Well, finally, we were able to go in and see him, and we were wondering what happened with the girl that was driving the vehicle. How come she's not at Geisinger? Well, it turned out she was dead. She was killed in the accident. My son witnessed the whole thing. So that was sad because I remember joking around with her and fooling around in the kitchen, you know, pouring water on the back of her head and just being myself, basically an idiot. But that hit me. That hit me hard. And we were finally able to go in and see my son, and he was half in, half out, and he was a mess. He was in Geisinger for, it would have been 6 weeks if he was there one more day, in intensive care for a while, and then out in the rest of it, and got there every night to see him. The presence of God, I could cut with a knife. It was that real. The love of God was real. I just want to say that through trials, God can bring forth
spiritual healing. My son did pull through. He had to undergo two operations on his stomach. A good portion of his bowel is gone because of injuries from seatbelt. They slid off the side of the road where a truck had taken out the barrier, hit a tree and slid 20 feet down from the tree. And like I said, the girl was, they say she was dead when they hit the ground. My son said, no, she survived for a few minutes. So trials, thank God for them. Trials must come to show us our faith or lack of faith. I also, as we continue, some examples of trials. Persecution. Persecution is definitely an example of trials. Persecution can take the form of anything. Being burned at the stake, crucified. Our Lord was crucified. Peter was crucified according to history. There were many others. There were those that were burned at the stake because they would not deny our Lord Jesus Christ. It's kind of humbling to realize that I'm counted in with some of these saints. There's persecution when you get called names at work or at school because you're a Christian, Holy Joe, Reverend. I get called Reverend once in a while, Reverend Thomas. I just go along with it. It's no problem. I mean, that to me, that's not persecution. I have a hard time putting that in the same category as someone who's burned at the stake and suffered, really suffered for the name of Christ, but it's still persecution. There's sickness, persecution. You take the form of being told you have cancer. I mean, that's not persecution, I'm sorry, of trials. That's a trial. You can be told you have MS. I have personal experience with that. That's a trial. I talked to someone who said, you know, you can go to the Lord, He'll heal you. Oh, really? Lord can heal. The Lord has healed my back many years ago. He's worked in my wife recently with healing. I know the Lord can heal. If He wants to take my MS away from me, He can take the MS. That's not a, you know, He created the entire universe. He's not going to scratch a hole in the top of His head trying to figure out how to deal with MS. But in our afflictions, we grow. I have come to put more and more of my trust on the Lord. It's not fun to have to give yourself a shot every day. There's a lot worse things you could do. A lot worse things. There's people right here in this room that have worse experiences than I do. Okay. I guess they don't hurt that much. They say no brain, no pain. So I guess that's a gift. Even the common cold at times can be a trial. Heart problems can be a trial. Let's face it. You get told that you need a triple bypass immediately or you won't live. That's a trial. That's a trial. That's happened to thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Maybe some here, I don't know. Consequences of prior sinful actions are examples. You can be suffering the consequences of a promiscuous lifestyle. That's just one that happens to come to my mind. You can suffer from the abuse of alcohol. You can have problems just from not taking care of yourself. These are all trials. There's the trial of sickness, as I mentioned, and the purpose of trials is to show us our strength, the strength of our faith. I have a very dear friend who lost his wife to cancer a couple years ago.
And we go back a little bit. Kept in touch with them ever since we moved up here in 1981. Several times a year they would come up or we would go down and visit them. After his wife died, I don't know what happened to him. He's a different person. He walked away from the Lord. He went and lived with another woman. And he tells me now, he says, yes, I'd like to get back with the Lord. Things were better then. But that's not a reason. That's a selfish reason. The trial of the death of his wife showed him and those around him what faith he had or didn't have. Okay. So trials can be a good thing. Not that it's always it feels real good when you're shown how far short you come. But believe me, it's the best thing that can happen to you. Okay. I think we can get into the scripture here a little bit. Again, I'm so afraid I'm making this tedious. As we get into James, let me read about the first four verses. I was going to read the first 12, but there's no way I'm going to get to the fourth one today, let alone through 12 of them. Okay. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. It says right here that trials work patience. Let me pick verse 2 apart here a little bit. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. My brethren. He's talking to Jews, Jewish Christians. The word brethren means those that are of the household of faith or of his nationality, it could be. I mean, they were Jewish and they were believers. We went into that the first week. So he says, my brethren. It designates a close union that believers have with one another. Let's turn to John 15. I'll read verses 8 to 17. I remember to put my glasses on so I'm not falling all over this. John chapter 15. Verses 8 to 17. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so ye be my disciples. As the Father have loved me, so have I loved you. That's worth a sermon right there. Yes. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatever, whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known to you. Ye have not chosen me, oh, there's another servant, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, this may I give it. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. We have a close union here. You can see the union that is between our Lord and his disciples and between believers. How else could he say, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Jesus is loved by the Father. I don't think anybody can deny that. We are to love each other as God loves Christ. And again, I may be getting off the track here a little bit. My brethren, we're still under my brethren. The term brethren denotes a very personal, intimate relationship. Romans 10 or 12:10 says, "Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another." What that means is I should have more concern for Bill than I have for myself. That's a tough lesson for me. That is a tough, tough, tough lesson. Still working on that. Still working on that. My wife will rise up and give testimony to that. At least that I haven't arrived. Not that I'm working on it part of it, but that I haven't arrived part. Let's go to Galatians 5. And again, forgive me, it's kind of funny when you stand up here and you realize what you're doing, you forget, is Galatians in the Old Testament or the New Testament? Or it's something you know very well, but not quite that bad. But Galatians 5, 19 to 26. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like. Of these, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's quite a list. And if you really look into that, how many of us have committed adultery today? As I said, when you come to see the Jesus you want to see, you're committing adultery. We worship the God of the Bible. Or at least we attempt to. Witchcraft, strife, wrath. How many have argued before you got here? I don't think I can raise my hand this morning, but there are many mornings I can. Okay. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, okay, such shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. As brothers, brothers in a generic sense, brothers, sisters, we're not to provoke one another. We're not to be desirous of vainglory. We're not to envy one another. And it says here, they that are of Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. These are the people that James was writing to. Now, as being the people that James was writing to, these people were still not perfect. And we see, count it through sense, you may not esteem it so. Count it all joy. Consider it all joy when you enter diverse trials, temptations. It's not something that comes off as being joyous immediately. Hebrews 12:11 says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Okay. We are to count it so. We are to count it. One more. Romans 8:17-18. "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time, the sufferings of this present time, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." I reckon. I count it. And again, up here it says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous." So our natural human instinct is, when we enter a trial, is to dread it. But we are to count it all joy. We are to consider it as joy. Now, this isn't trying to jive yourself into taking something that's bad, just saying, "Oh, well, this is just okay," which so many people do. But we consider it because the working of the trials is going to bring forth positive fruit in our lives. Even if that fruit is that we finally understand we need a relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to take that relationship with Jesus Christ seriously. This is the positive fruit of the trial. And I got a couple more scriptures here I'm not going to get into right now, because I was driving myself crazy at 1 o'clock this morning trying to figure out if I had enough or not. I haven't even gotten through the second half of the second page here. I am trying to regain my place here. God's corrections are sharp, but we have some corruptions to be mortified. We are called to great trials, but we may reckon upon great hopes. Yeah, some of our trials are great, but our corruptions are also great. They require great trials. Okay. All joy, that's a matter of chief joy. Hebrews 10:34, "For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance." All joy. The Christians at that time suffered the spoiling of their goods. They quite possibly left their homes to visit their fellow believers in prison and came back, and their homes were ransacked. They considered it a joy that they could suffer for the sake of Jesus Christ. This is a change of thinking. This is repentance. Repentance is you're going one way and you turn the other way. This is a repentant. This is, let me put it this way. This is a sign of true repentance. You're going one way. You're grabbing everything you can in the world. You're hoarding it. You're holding on to it. And then somebody takes it away and you rejoice. Now you're free of that. Trials help bring this on. 2 Corinthians 7:4. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying in you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. This is the Apostle Paul, and Apostle Paul suffered great tribulation. Let's turn to, I'm skipping around here, and hopefully I'm making sense. And I'll call it quits here. But let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I hope this is the one I think it is. Verses 3 to 10, I'll read. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distress, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as known and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. The Apostle Paul said he knew what it was like to have riches and to have want, to have nothing and to have everything, to have friends and not to have friends. But the Apostle Paul was joyful through his many, many trials. Maybe next time I'll get into a couple of them. Well, we'll be done before tonight. 2 Corinthians 11, 24-28, since we're right there, almost. Well, no, we're not right there. Second Corinthians 11, 24 to 28. My Bible seems to go from 2 Corinthians 11 to Galatians 2. Let me back up a little bit. Are the ministers of Christ, I speak as a fool, I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes, more sure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils from robbers, in perils from mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside these things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I'm not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I need glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. There's a partial list of what Paul went through, some of his trials and tribulations. And I'm going to end it there and pick up next time. Although when I sit down to this, I got to get moving here. You know, a body at rest tends to stay at rest, and that's something I want to overcome. But there's some important issues, some important doctrines and things in the first couple verses of James. I love Martin Luther, but he had it so wrong when he said James was a right strawy epistle. I wish I could have him duct tape in a chair right here. Praise the Lord. Our Father, we thank you for the time that we've been able to spend together studying your word. Lord, hopefully it wasn't too tedious. Lord, I thank you for the fruit that you're going to bring forth from this. Thank you for the fruit that I've seen in my life from the study of James. Thank you for the convictions that you've given me as far as some of the small trials that I have to go through to become holy. Lord, I'm so far from it. We all are, Lord, but I can speak for myself. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. We would ask that you would be with us throughout the week. You bring us back again this evening safely, and that you would bless our service as we partake of your table. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.